I want to talk to you about this thing called hope. A lot of you might know, a lot of you might not know that a lot of churches in Britain this year are just like sort of trying to make sure that this year is a year of hope, and they're thinking of creative ways of how they can bring hope to people that really need hope. And the word hope is a bit of a weird word, because I don't think we actually really understand what hope is. You know, I think that we use the word hope like, I've placed a bet on the horses and I hope it's going to come in, you know, or I've just bought a new car and I hope it's not going to blow up, you know, that sort of thing. But I mean, that's not really hope, because a lot of those things where it's not really, it doesn't really matter either way. To me, hope is something which is a lot more solid and a lot more important than that. I was thinking about this time when my old man's a bit of a nutter, right? He is, he's a lot of a nutter. He's well known in our family for a couple of things. He's got a massive collection of chainsaws because he likes chopping trees now. So he's even chopped his thumb off because he's that committed to the cause. Seriously. He had to have a skin graft off his leg, right, to build his thumb up. But what's mad is he cut this little square off his leg, but it doesn't tan. So like he goes to Greece every year in his, you know, in his little, like, you know, little trunks or whatever they do, speedos, I don't know what you wear, because I don't go to Greece, but he always comes back with his little square, like a little barcode, like, for a little barcode on his leg, because he had to, like, it's nothing to do with hope, by the way, but perhaps he hopes he's going to get a tan there one day, I don't know, but he's got this little square on the back of his leg where he had to build his thumb up, bless him. But like my dad, you know, he's got a whole bunch of chainsaws there. He's well known for chucking himself off mountains with nothing but a parachute attached. You know, he's a paraglider, and he's, you know, he just does all sorts of stupid things that blokes either do or really wish that they had done before, as they get older. And he's done most of those things and a lot worse, but it's the chainsaw collection I'm most proud of. He even taught me how to decapitate chickens. How cool is that? Because we used to keep chickens, and I don't know if you know, but when chickens stop laying eggs and you only got chickens because they're laying eggs, they're not really much use. So he then broke into his axe collection, and I learned from my father where the phrase running around like a headless chicken comes from. So I learned a lot of really helpful things from my dad, which have really set me up for life. But one of the things that I remember about my dad is that he took us on holiday to West Wales once, which is much more my thing than Greece, because I understand what they're on about, just. And like, he took me rock climbing. But what I didn't know is when I went rock climbing, that it wasn't so much that we climb up a rock, but we were on this top of this cliff, about 300 foot down was the place we had to start climbing. I was just waiting for the helicopter to come and pick us up, to drop us off at the bottom of the cliff, when he said, nah, you got to go down first. So, he's with these people who know what they're doing, like, which I'm quite glad, because I literally didn't trust my dad at this point. And they have, like, it's abseiling, it's called, and they attach, like, because you're a kid and you're absolutely filling your pants because you're that scared and they want to reassure you. They don't just give you the one rope, which is, like, what you're in control of. They give you another rope, which they're in control of. So you've got two ropes attached to you. One is, like, your rope, so you can sort of go down and feel like you're a ninja or something because you're doing it really well. And then the other one is the one in case you're not a ninja and you fall, you don't die and they don't get sued for millions of pounds and end up, like, you know, in jail. So, like, you know, that's the whole point of the second rope. So I remember standing, I was about 8 years old, and I got a picture on my, or my parents rather got a picture on the study wall of me in this really, like, you know, because I grew up, you know, in a bit of a sad boy, like, so, you know, a pair of really tight jeans, because this was in the 80s, you know, when the jeans were, like, you know, they hugged your figure. Pair of these jeans, and I can't believe I could even bend, let alone, you know, probably cut off the circulation in my legs or something, and a woolly jumper, which is obviously, you know, like, you know, one of those, like, not like a woolly jumper, like a nice one from Burton's or Next, but like your grand knitted you kind of woolly jumper. So I'm there in a pair of tight jeans, a woolly jumper, and this big helmet, and it's, you know, and there's just, like, me on this cliff. And I remember at the top of the cliff, he said to me, right, not my dad, this other bloke, he said, right, just lean back. It's like, what are you on about, man? This was a cliff, a proper cliff, not like one of the ones that's just built out of bricks. It's meant to feel like a cliff. There was waves going at the bottom of this thing, 300 foot below, and he said, go on, just lean back. And I couldn't. I physically, I mean, I was only eight. My legs were literally just shaking and shivering. I was really, really scared like this. And I was like, I can't, mate, I can't. And he's like, yeah, you can. My dad's like, do it, you ponce. And I was like, I can't. I can't, like, you know. And the worst thing was my sister does it. Oh, my days. Like, she's older than me, like, so she's 30, you know, she's like 11 or something. So she's like, she's done it. And I was like, right, not only am I scared, not only is my dad going to think I'm a ponce, but everybody's going to see my sister do it. I just got to do this thing. And like he said, just lean back. So you're like, so your legs are like this against the cliff. And I was like, I can't. At some point, I had to trust that the rope that was holding me was strong enough to hold me. See, it wasn't like, is the rope strong enough? I hope so. The proof was in the pudding, yeah? And like, I think that, and praise God, I got down, I didn't die, and here I am. You know, and, you know, I wasn't a ponce, it was all good. So, you know, but I think it's times like that that make me realize what hope is all about. See, I took my dog out this morning for a walk in Trevethin, and as the winter's setting in, I'm realizing just
how high up this place actually is. You know, you kind of think that the view is more of a painting in the summer because it's just there and it's nice. But you go out on a morning like this and the wind's whipping up off of Bristol Channel and there's rain just going in your eye, you know, like that angle. And I was walking my dog and I was walking through it like this and I was thinking, this is nuts. Does my dog even deserve this? Because I feel like dying right now. It's just horrible. And I was freezing cold. My fingers were brittle. And then I went to church in Cardiff, and I was like, there's a church in Cardiff that I got a lot of friends in, and they'd asked me to come and share a bit about what we're doing up here in Trevethin. So I put this picture on the screen of Trevethin with a nice blue sky, and it's all nice and lovely, and it looks all nice and picturesque. I'm like, that's so different to what it was actually like this morning when I took my dog out, because it was wild. And you know what? I don't want to pretend to you, because obviously a lot of well, you all know I'm a Christian, and like what we're doing here is a church thing. I'm not pretending that like life is easy. I'm not pretending that life is like that picture when it's just all sunny and everything's lovely, and if you sort of like, you know, if you let Jesus into your life and you do the church thing, then all of a sudden the clouds are going to disappear and it's all going to be sunny and lovely until you have a happy ending. Can I say that life just chucks storms at you sometimes? Life just comes in your face, like, and it just hits you in ways where it hurts, and it's cruel, and it's difficult. You know, I started 2008, and I was so excited. Year of hope, come on, year of hope. I can't wait to bring some hope into Trevethin. Whoopah! And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call from my mother, my cancer's come back. She's been fighting cancer for quite a while now. She's been in remission for about 5 or 6 months. And all of a sudden, my cancer's come back. It's come back bad. I've got to go through 6 months of chemotherapy. That's a storm, man. And can I tell you that my mother's not the sort of person that's like, you know, lived a reckless life. She's not the sort of person that's sort of like, you know, lived life on the edge. She hasn't, you know, been, you know, destroying her body. She's just a lovely woman. And she's my mam, you know? And that's a storm right there. And it's in times like that. And we're all going to face them. We either have faced them, are facing them, or will face them. When all of a sudden you ask yourself the question, to be honest, what am I actually clinging to right now? What am I putting my hope in? Because for stuff like that, for my mother, she doesn't need a hope so. She doesn't need a, maybe it'll be okay. She needs a rope that she knows she can just let herself go, and that rope is going to take her away, and that rope is going to hold her. And, you know, I don't want to sort of like paint some picture of Christianity or Jesus as just this sort of like fuzzy, get all your problems fixed and everything will be okay thing. I want to tell you about faith in Jesus Christ that gets you through storms. I want to talk to you about the real gritty reality of like what Jesus has done. There's a verse I want to read to you in 1 Peter, which is in the Bible, you probably would have imagined that. This isn't my address book. Some of you are thinking, he wants my email address. What's your email address for? No, this is the Bible. It's got a cool Celtic cross on the front as well. That's why I like it. And it's green, not black. How new school. Right, and it says this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." We got a living hope. I remember when I went in to see my mother in hospital, the first time she got diagnosed with cancer about 3 years ago, not 2 years ago. And she was in like, and she had MRSA as well. So, you know, when they sort of like, they do the whole operation thing, they'd remove a tumor the size of a football from inside it. It was a horrible thing. And then they tell her when she comes round, you've got MRSA, which means that no one's allowed to visit, you know, we can't put you in a proper ward. We've got to quarantine you off, put you in a room on your own. Anybody wants to come and visit you, they've got to wear gloves and they've got to wear aprons and they can't hug you. They can't, you know, get that close to you. I'm a Valleys boy. Anyone who's a Valleys boy knows that, like, if it's your mam, it's the same for anyone, but for a Valleys boy, it's just if it's your mam, it's just the pits, man. You know, that's your mother, you know, the one person, like, you just don't want that. I walked into the hospital to visit and I didn't know what I was going to see. I had no idea if I was going to see a broken woman, a woman in tears, a woman who was, like, cursing. You know, like my mother never curses, but you know, when extreme things happen, you know, there's extreme responses that can happen. I didn't know what to expect. And I walked around the corner into that booth, okay? And I just saw a picture of absolute peace. That's all I can describe it as. She was smiling. I would almost say she was shining. She was shining, and she had no idea that like she was gonna be alive in 6 months' time. Her and my dad are very pragmatic, so like where they say, you know, give it to me straight, doc. And they were like, it's very serious. It was like, apparently it was like 0.3%, you know, bit away from like, let's just not bother, you know, doing anything about it at all. So she was there and she just had this peace. And I said, you know, ma'am, what are you so happy for? Like, I just didn't understand how you can be in that situation and you can have, and you can have a smile. You know, how you can't even be weeping. She said, I've been reading the book of Philippians in the Bible, and there's a verse in there that speaks of having a peace that passes understanding. A peace that you can't even describe, that like she couldn't even explain to me why she felt so peaceful. She just did, because God put the peace inside her. And, you know, Jesus didn't come into this world, guys, to sort of make us into sort of like these kind of people that float through life with our head in the clouds, like it's all going to be okay. I'm not going to ever, like, you know, tell anybody that if you just become a Christian, if you just give your life to Jesus, then it'll all be better. Because life is life, and storms come. Ask anybody on this estate who's lived here a long time, you know, the storms come just as quick as they go, but they come. And, you know, Jesus came not to give us a fairy tale ending. He came to give us something solid, something real. He came to give us forgiveness in our lives. He came to give us the guarantee that that verse I just read spoke about an inheritance in heaven, which is unfading, which is unbreakable, which is like no one can snatch it from you. And it's like the closer that my mother got to death, the more she shone. And that's not the sort of thing that, like, I hope so gets you. That's the sort of thing that only God can give you. And that's true hope. And see, I pray that 2008 is a great year for you. I pray that, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart. I pray that your family prospers. I pray that you stay healthy. I pray that your kids, you know, just do really well in school, and that, like, you know, and that they stay out of trouble and all that stuff. I pray all that stuff happens for you guys. But what if it doesn't? What is holding on to you? What is clinging? You know, what are you attached to, and what are you clinging to that when it comes to leaning over the back of the edge of whatever it is, you know, I'm still in safe hands. I can cope because I've got hope. That was a rhyme and it wasn't meant to be. I can cope because I got hope. Here, Sparks, next song. It'd be a bit cheesy, wouldn't it? I can cope because I got hope. No. Okay. you know, if it wasn't for what Jesus had done in my life, I wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be standing behind this microphone. I'd be out there with everybody else in this world who struts through life like they're fine. Who go through life like, yeah, I'm okay, I can take it. No matter what knocks me on the chin, I'll take it like a man. I don't care. But then going home at night and feeling empty and shallow and just like, this is pants. What is the point? I had 15 years of that. And by the time I got to 15, I'd had a guts full of pretending. I'd had a guts full of putting on a mask so that everybody thought I was cool. But deep down inside, just not coping, not understanding, and just not wanting to do life anymore the way that it was going. And Jesus stepped into my life and he took my sin away. That's what the cross was all about. He took the stuff, all the guilt that was crippling me away. And he gave me a new start. He made me a new person inside. And the reason I can confidently say that Jesus Christ can give you that hope is because he rose from the dead. You know, there's no worse situation you can face than death. But I'm going to put my hope in the one who beat death. Because if he can beat death, he can beat anything. If death comes knocking at my mother's door in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, she's got a rock solid, deep down, you can't shift it if you wanted to, hope that she's going to heaven when she dies. And nothing and no one can rob you of that. Nothing and no one can rob you of that. So my question to you, like, it's so lush to have you all here. You know, it's been so nice to just sort of have this evening and chat to you and just see you all enjoying the music and stuff. But I want to just leave you with a challenge. At the beginning of this year, you know, it's a bit too late now to talk about New Year's resolutions, but what are you holding on to this year, guys? Or should I say, who are you holding on to? Because there's only one who won't let you down. See, we sometimes think that I'll put my trust, I'll put my hope in relationships. And you can have the best marriage, the best friendships, whatever. But people will, at some point, they will let you down. Because people are people. We put our hope in our job. You can have the most secure job in the world. But you look at what's happening on the Wall Street at the moment. Your job isn't, you know, your job isn't the most secure thing. You can say, I'm putting my hope in, you know, in whatever you want to put your hope in. But if it's not in God, it's in something that ultimately can let you down. And ultimately will let you down. Nothing wrong with, like, you know, trusting your husband or your wife. Nothing wrong with, like, you know, enjoying your job. And nothing wrong with, like, you know, putting your hope in those things to a degree. But there's only one that's not going to let you down, and that's God. And the proof of that is Jesus Christ, because he rose from the dead. I don't preach religion. Religion does my boxing. And can I tell you, it does God's boxing as well. God's not like, oh, I need more religious people down here. No, he's not at all. He's like, you know what? I'm more sick of religion than any of them. Because religion is saying, you try and fix yourself. Go on, fix yourself up. Go on, make your life better. And we're like, we try and we can't. And Jesus came because we can't fix our lives. He said, you know what? I'm going to come and fix it for you. And I'm going to prove that I'm the real deal because I'm going to raise from the dead. Everyone else who started a religion and said, come on, do this, they died. And you can go and visit their tomb. Go and visit Jesus' tomb and it's empty. because his hope isn't empty. And that's kind of what I want to share with you guys. You've listened really well. Thanks for that. I just had a bit of a splurge, like, so thank you. Grab CDs, grab, you know, leaflets, have a chat with me if you want to chat to me about any of that stuff. For those of you who are from the area and didn't know, we are starting a church group up here called Hill City Church. We do a home group on Tuesday nights and one on Friday mornings. You'd be more than welcome to come and join us for any of those. We're not sort of like, you know, religious freaks. We just have a cup of coffee, as strong as you like, and we open the Bible, we talk about it, talk about how it affects our lives. Then we have a little prayer at the end, and then we go home and we try and put it into practice. That's what we do. So you'd be more than welcome to do that. Abby, where's she gone? There she is. She's one with a guitar attached to her, but she's not putting her hope in her guitar. She just likes playing it. So she's going to come and sing us a few more songs, and then you're welcome just to stay, chill, chat, chip, whatever you need to do. Thanks, Abs.